How can we get fellow Americans, especially young people, to appreciate what we have in America while working for its improvement? Hello and welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Brigitte Gabriel. She's a national security analyst, a New York Times bestselling author, and she's also the chairman of Act for America, actforamerica.org. Her latest bestseller is Rise. And Brigitte, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm delighted to be back with you again.
Sure. And tell us, what is this book, Rise, all about?
Well, we are at a time where America is at a crossroads, and the changes that are happening, the transformation in our country, is unbelievable. So I wrote Rise to inspire Americans to rise up in defense of our Judeo-Christian values and freedom. And what I do with the book is I not only educate people about the problem, obviously people understand that there is a problem, but most people do not know what to do about it. So what I do in the book, in every section, regardless of what topic I'm talking about, whether I'm talking about the propaganda and the brainwashing in our public schools or schools in general, whether I'm talking about the media or Soros funding the media or the border, at the end of every chapter, I have a section titled Rise Up and Act, where I give people three things they can do under 10 minutes that will make a difference for the country, and they can do it sitting in their pajamas. So hopefully people can learn about the problem and learn what to do about the problem.
Excellent. Okay, now I want to quote you from an interview that you did a few years ago with D. James Kennedy Ministries, our television broadcast. Okay, here we go. America today is being transformed before our very eyes. The flag that once flew on every street corner in the United States is now considered a hate symbol on college campuses. Athletes who used to break down in tears of pride during the national anthem are now leading a protest. Patriotism is seen as hateful. Our police are being attacked by criminals and thugs while the mainstream media victimizes their killers. Christmas is under assault. Prayer in schools is under assault. And you go on and on. But this is a very important, and I want you to go ahead and comment on that itself, and then I'm going to ask you about your own personal background, because I think that really sheds a lot of light on this, how you appreciate America for what it is.
I appreciate America for what it is because I was raised in a place where there was no freedom of speech. There was no freedom of expression. If you spoke up about the corrupt leaders, you could be taken in the middle of the night and disappear. And that's not necessarily specific to the country in which I was raised, Lebanon. This is pretty much to the majority of the world, with the exception of the West, led by America and its freedoms. And the new generation in America today does not understand how precious freedom is because they have never had to fight for anything. They had never had to overcome any challenge. They have everything handed to them so easily. Their life was handed to them on a platter of gold. In America, you expect if you're not making a salary, you can always go down to the welfare office and you're going to be provided with food stamps so you can eat. You're going to be provided with an apartment if you cannot afford one. You can be provided with food stamps for your children and your family, and even you can be provided with a cell phone. I mean, our poorest of the poor in our country, even our laziest of lazy, who by choice decide not to amount to anything in life, are provided with a cell phone, are provided with heating and air conditioning. They have dishwashers, even if they live in the ghettos. These are luxuries that the majority of the world doesn't even begin to dream of. And that's why Americans who have never had to fight for those things really appreciate it because it was given to them so easily. So you take immigrants like me who came from different parts of the world, who were raised in different parts of the world, who were not able to express themselves freely without fearing that someone in the middle of the night is going to come and take us out of our beds and kill us, who know that we couldn't have the opportunity that America offers. In America, you come to America penniless And you can end up becoming a multimillionaire because it all depends on your brain, on your ability to work, on your desire to succeed, in your good intentions. That's what America is all about. And so the new generation of today, unfortunately, did not go through the experiences that create that passion inside their heart to do something, to become somebody, to change the world, to make the world a better place. They are lacking that ingredient that went in the soil to make those elements grow because they never had to experience this.
Now, when you were in Lebanon, and I understand from a previous book that you had written that I read major portions of you, your life was wonderful until you reached the age of 10. And then at that time, Syria upset the balance in Lebanon, and there was essentially a type of Muslim invasion, in effect, over Lebanon, and it caused many of the Christians to be killed and so forth, and you were part of a Christian family and so forth. And there was several years there where it was just absolutely horrible. How did you eventually come to America? Yes, go ahead, talk.
Actually, Jerry, if I can comment on that, Lebanon used to be Paris of the Middle East, the Switzerland of the Middle East, the banking capital of the Middle East. We were the most prosperous, successful enterprise in the Middle East, even though we did not have any oil. We had built the best university in the Middle East. Unfortunately, all that began to change, not because Syria interfered in Lebanon, but because the Lebanese people, because of their open-mindedness and their fairness and their multiculturalism and their basically open-mindedness, welcomed into the country, opened up our borders, and took in refugees, Palestinian refugees in particular, that were rejected by their Arabic brethren country. Lebanon was the only country to accept the third wave of Palestinian refugees into the country because we thought, well, we have open hearts, we want to help you. And what we ended up bringing into the country was a group of people who did not share our values. They basically came to the country and used the country as a launching pad to serve their own interests. And their interest was the destruction of Israel. And they used Lebanese democracy to topple our democracy. And that's what began the erosion of our freedoms to the point where the Lebanese, the country was so divided along sectarian lines that it was easier for Syria, a powerful country in the Middle East, to enter Lebanon supposedly to help keep the peace. But the country was so weak at that point that Syria and Iran and other actors were able to take a foothold in the country and destroy the country. And this is why when you hear me speak with such passion, and in my book, I talk about this, you know, we refused to read the writing on the wall. When people who came into our country back then in Lebanon, when I was a child in Lebanon, who would say they hate us or they want to destroy us or they don't like us, we didn't listen to them. We could not believe that somebody could actually mean that. And we would say, oh, that's just, you know, crazy minority thugs speaking like that. They don't really mean that. They do not represent the views of the majority. So we allowed ourselves to be blinded by our goodness and our good intentions and became deaf to the voice of our enemy that we did not want to believe. You know, people always ask me, Brigitte, who should we believe? I tell them, believe those who say they want to kill you because they usually follow through. And so in America today, when I watch the transformation of the United States, look, I came to America over 30 years ago. The America that I immigrated to in 1989 is not the America of 2022. America today is unrecognizable to the America that I came to in 1989.
Wow.
And so I see the erosion of the culture. I see the erosion of society on every level, through the schools, through our cultural institutions, through our television programming, through our theater, through our military. I mean, look at the wussifying of our military. It is a joke. I'm not sure America can win any war because we have a generation in the military who is more concerned about transgender rights and lesbian rights and LGBTQ rights and not offending anybody than actually killing our enemy and winning war. wars.
Wow. Okay, we have about 4 minutes left, and there's so much to cover. What are your thoughts in terms of how do we get back to the founding principles that made America what it was? And by the way, is it true that in your native Lebanon, when you aspired to come to America, you used to have a small American flag under your pillow as kind of a symbol of hope?
Wow, you remember that? Wow, absolutely. I got an American flag when I was in Israel one time, and I put it in my bomb shelter under my pillow. And I used to watch television. We watched television operated on a car battery in our bomb shelter. And I would watch Dallas and The Love Boat and all these American shows and The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie. And I wanted so badly to come to America that it became my obsession. America became my obsession. And I knew in order for me to get out of Lebanon, I need to learn English and speak English so I can come to America. And because America represented me, respect, freedom, great society, tight-knit family who had good values, good character, always made the right judgment. That's what those shows represented. Little House on the Prairie, The Waltons, Father Knows Best. That's what America represented to the world. That's what the world watched, with subtitles. That was our window into America, and I wanted to come here. Today, what I worry about is America is not coming together, and that's why we as Christians, if the Christian body in the United States decided to come together and stand up. Look, Jerry, there are 75 million evangelicals in the United States. Can you imagine if those people came together and worked together and coordinated together and stood up together for our country, what we can do? Wow. Our enemy would not stand a chance. And that's why I encourage people to go to our website, ActForAmerica.org. ActForAmerica.org. We are uniting groups all over the country. You know, there's a lot of groups that just kind of sprung up after the 2020 election, and they want to make a difference for the country. So they are all joining under our umbrella. We now have over 1,000 chapters. We are 1.7 million members nationwide. We have helped pass 124 bills on the federal level and the state level to protect the country. Right now, we are working on election security project. We have an election integrity project. We are cleaning voter rolls. We are getting people involved in just starting small groups in their community, being involved in their school boards, being involved in their school system. So I encourage people, if my message resonates with you, if my passion resonates with you, join us. Go to actforamerica.org. Take action. Sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Start a chapter in your community or join a chapter. If you want to join our election integrity project, please drop us an email and let us know. We have so many resources. We can help you. We can train you. We can mobilize you. We can connect you with other people in your community who are on fire to save our nation. And Jerry, I believe if Christians come together and work together and pray together to save our nation will be saved and America will be great again and we will be unstoppable and no one can touch us.
ActForAmerica.org. Okay, we have 45 seconds to conclude. How about just a quick thought about the founding fathers and all the sacrifices that they made that we might become a country? Is their message still relevant today?
Great. Absolutely. Our fathers gave up everything and most of them died broke in order to give us the country that we have today. The least we can do is preserve it for the next generations. We don't have to freeze in the ice and cold. We don't have to live under bombs falling over our heads and looking out to make sure our flag is still flying. We are sitting in the comfort of our homes in front of the internet and we can make a difference coming together. We can be keyboard activists and we can make a difference. And that's what Act for America is all about. And like I said, we named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, wish for America, pray for America. You should pray for America. You should think and hope for America. But without action, nothing happens.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'm sure people can get more information in your book, Rise. Thanks very much, Brigitte Gabriel.
Great being with you.
You too. Thanks now. Bye-bye.